Well, President-elect Trump's nominee for Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross is also getting his hearing in front of the Senate Commerce Committee today. He's a billionaire investor who would be a key part of Trump's team on trade. So what can we learn about him from what happened in Cleveland? 15 years ago, Ross bought some ailing steel plants, including one in Cleveland, hoping to turn them around. Matt Richmond from Here and Now contributor WCPN IdeaStream has the rest of the story.
Back in 2000, the LTV Corporation filed for the largest bankruptcy up to that point in U.S. history. The conglomerate owed more than $4 billion to more than 20,000 creditors. Its three steel plants, including one here in Cleveland, were about to shut down. Susan Murnan is a former Justice Department lawyer and author of a 2014 book called Bankruptcy in Industrial Society. She studied the LTV collapse and says that while the company's end was in 2000, it was a long time coming.
General decline really started about 1970. I think it's really important for people to realize that.
Murnan says LTV was sunk by its pension obligations, which she says made up about three-quarters of the company's debt. Bankruptcy gave its new owner, Wilbur Ross, a chance to shed those debts. In 2002, his private equity company, W.L. Ross & Co., LLC, bought the three LTV steel plants for $83 million. Ross was able to cut pensions and health care costs and renegotiate a contract with the Steelworkers Union. Another cause of LTV's long decline, says Murnan, was competition from other countries set on developing their steel industries.
Everybody wants steel. You know, all countries want steel. They want steel for a lot of reasons. Steel built industrial capitalism in America. It built the railroads. It built the skyscrapers. It built the factories. It built everything.
But Ross got a little help on the competition front. Just as he got into the business, the George W. Bush administration slapped a tariff on steel imports. So with the debt to its workers cleared and foreign competitors stymied, the Cleveland plant went back to producing steel. In 2004, Ross moved on. He sold his 13 steel plants in the U.S. to Middle Steel for $4.5 billion. Ross still sits on the board of the company he sold to, now Luxembourg-based ArcelorMittal, the largest steel producer in the world. Juscelino Colares is a former trade litigator in Washington, D.C. Colares says in picking Ross for Commerce Secretary, President-elect Trump seems genuine in backing up his campaign stump speech promise to protect domestic manufacturers, particularly steelmakers.
And so his actions on trade seem to be very coherent based on the rhetoric that he's used and based on the people he's choosing.
In addition to Ross, Trump has chosen former Nucor Steel CEO Dan DiMicco to lead the trade office transition team. And Claris describes Trump's expected choice for U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer as the steel industry's top trade litigator.
You can see that's why Trump made a very forceful, for a Republican, he made a very anti-liberal argument, you know, for second-guessing, relooking, revisiting NAFTA, revisiting all these agreements. Everything is back on the table.
Case Western Reserve University economics professor Sue Helper supports the idea of renegotiating trade deals. But the former chief economist at the Department of Commerce in the Obama administration says there's been too much emphasis on tariffs and protecting corporate profits, not enough emphasis on environment and labor regulations.
A lot of what Trump complains about in terms of this job loss is really due to this lack of labor protection. It's very difficult to organize an independent union in Mexico. It's difficult to organize one in the U.S., but even more difficult.
Besides getting a better deal for the U.S., it's not yet clear what a Trump administration wants to change by reopening trade deals. It's a question open for discussion at Ross's confirmation hearing. For Here and Now, I'm Matt Richmond in Cleveland.